And you three, this is everybody. Okay, welcome to Course in Miracles. All right. As it is in many, teachings of any type, not just spirituality, but in teachings of any type, contrast is perhaps maybe the quickest teacher of all.
Contrast creates clarity.
Doesn't it? Nice. Even the ego's world, you know. Contrast. I had it and I lost it. But that moment that you lost it, the moment you got it may have been blurry, but when you finally got your relationship, your job, a certain amount of money, a certain amount of comfort, it may have built up slowly, but the moment you lost one of these valuable things, this turns out to be the edge that teaches the value. Oh, right there. Contrast is a wonderful teacher, and no stranger to this book. Plenty of contrast. The section we're studying tonight is called The Attraction to Guilt. Guilt? Jeff said this is a book about love. What are you guys talking about?
Contrast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love this. Another thing I love about A Course in Miracles is it does not shy away from the obvious plight we're in as bodies. As egomaniacs. Of Course in Miracles is not afraid to discuss this in detail, like discussing fear and guilt and the special relationship where you're in a heavy competition with somebody, and the more competition comes with the more you say I love you with a small L. There it's out. Of course, is not afraid to look at this thing, really surface how the ego works and the leverage of the ego to be caught, then busted, and then turned over and released so that another way can enter your mind and bring you peace. The book spends a lot of time on caught and busted. So it turns out, if you can get out of the denial that you're in, the truth that's in you shows up pretty quick to put a smile on your face, if not a laugh, on how insane it was that you were so worried about blank. You were worried about blank. Of Course in Miracles says it's you that's worrying, not the situation. Give yourself a break. Try peace, you'll like it. That's Course in Miracles. And you're familiar with the book, then you remember that along the way it says, and God will take the last step. Everybody remember that? Seen it a few times? God will has to take the last step. Easy to say, because God in this book is not some dude with a calendar and has to be somehow available for you when it's time. That's not God in this book. God is not a person. God is the truth. And the truth is always there. So of course God will take the last step, and already has. When truth dawns upon your mind, this instantaneous recognition will be seen as a journey without distance. Okay, so let's think now on this. For the next couple of minutes, I would like you to get personal. You don't have to share with the group when it's over. You can just say pass, okay? But give yourself this gift. As each time when we do these meditations, give yourself the self-audit. Give yourself these next few moments of silence to check in honestly with what you think about what I'm going to ask you. Just check it out. Find out. Show yourself what you're up to right now, just tonight. So before I say it, take a breath. Open your mind. It's going to be a weird one. It can require some honesty. So, what is the cost of love? What does love cost? Just think about it. If there was no cost to love, it would just be flowing presently through your awareness all the time. The moment you wake up, everything you greet, love would flow forth and be reflected. And when things come and things go, it would just be another contribution of love. And then when something else happens to you, seemingly from the outside world, that would be seen as yet another gift of love. And before you go to sleep, you would say, God, what a lovely day. I'm going to sleep just drowning in love that's everywhere. And asleep you would go, yet just to be dreaming of love. If there was no cost to love. So why, how is love not your first response in every situation? What is the cost? If you are loving, you are not blank. But take another moment. And just come up with a single word or phrase that occurs to you as one of the things that the ego has to give up, you would have to give up. To be loving here. Pam, what's one of the things that's not compatible with being loving throughout the day, living in a body and an ego?
I mean, the risk of being vulnerable, being rejected, being judged, being judgmental.
Yes.
I mean, all that stuff.
And 100 more, right?
Yeah.
This is easy, in
that
a way.
It's easy, yeah.
It's kind of twisted to think of how much that we actually rely on that blocks love's presence. Risk of being rejected.
Risk of falling in love with the wrong person, right? Judging. You know, not
the
wrong, being judged, but also...
The wrong
yeah, what if
person.
I end up, yeah, yeah.
You'd have to give up judging for your safety.
Yeah.
Judging for your sanity. Judging for your happiness. Just don't judge anymore. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm? Good one. David.
Normally, it's nothing. You don't have to give up anything. You don't have any, you bring those conditions in.
Uh-huh. Oh, was that all? Just
yeah.
The conditions?
Yeah,
the conditions. So you'd have to give up conditions.
Yeah.
You'd have to give up that there were times to love and times not to love. You'd have to give up more love here, less love there, no love at all when this happens. You have to give up conditions.
It's getting easier just to love. Don't worry about it. No.
Yeah.
It is getting a lot easier over time. But
isn't it amazing how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just gets
even in the worst situations, it's amazing how you can be, like Pam said, you could actually be vulnerable. You could actually take risks at the last moment the ego would allow it. You can, and look what happens. I know you've been doing this lately.
Yeah.
So.
Grace.
Thanks.
Andrew?
Yes.
I'll write it down now, Andrew.
I'll get it and I'll have a fair bit.
The question was, what would it cost for
Love,
yes, what does love cost?
So it's funny, the first thing that my mind came up with was freedom. And it's really interesting because it's totally the opposite. But I realize, and then in this meditation, like it is such a trick. Like I feel that in being loving, like you said, conditions, it's giving up that freedom to decide what I want to do. Like
yes. Chapter 16, hello.
Just in how I got here today at this meeting, like, it took some major divine intervention for me to know and follow my heart.
Yes.
But I would have not, because I would rather not. I'd rather be comfortable than do something like this. So.
Right. Yeah.
And it feels like freedom, that I'm giving it my freedom, that I'm following my heart, but I know that it's the absolute freedom that it's offering me. It's just
but boy, that
funny.
First thing. Something to lose. Yeah, that there's something to lose.
Yeah, like, I got it figured out.
Anything were to happen unexpected, you might lose some freedom. That's not loving. That's not available. That's not present.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So you, whoa.
But isn't that the case? Especially with the conditional love, the special relationship. Not just with people. Special relationship go with cars too. You're trying to pick a car this weekend? Okay. All right. Are you going to go for the new little, the Mini Cooper? Are you going to go for the minivan? Are you going to go for the Tesla? Or the pickup truck? Because you do have to move in a couple of weeks. You settle on that pickup truck, it's going to be a 2-3-seater for a while.
No, but if you buy a Tesla, you could trade anybody for the weekend.
That's true. That's true.
We'll take a chance on that.
I don't know anybody who rents their Tesla out right now, but it could happen. Yeah, because they're afraid of losing something.
Wouldn't drive somebody else's Tesla if my life depended on it.
Yeah, but yes, it's not a loving situation.
Well,
even if it was
that,
offered,
I might get in trouble.
You might scratch it.
I might crash it.
No, too fast.
You might speed. Yeah, you might run out of battery on Highway 1. I forgot to charge it because my car doesn't have to be charged. Sorry, but I know exactly where I left it. Here's the key.
The keys are in it.
The key. Yeah, it's been a dead battery. Who needs keys?
There is no key.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. 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 But oh, that goes right to. The cost of love. There is a cost of love. Because doesn't love have kind of a surrender feel to it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And doesn't love sort of say that, and it says this in the manual for teachers, that you know, you're putting somebody else's interest as equal or ahead of yours. That means no Netflix for you tonight.
I don't.
Uh-oh. And yet, when we do love, right? Remember this meditation so long ago? We should do it again. What does it feel like? Remember this one? What does it feel like? To want to share. I don't care about not anything in particular. Just what is it when you want to share? That moment when you say, yes, here. Want to share. That precious little instant. That. Isn't that free? Isn't that worth all the Netflix? Oh, I love that moment. I love me in that moment. I don't care what you think about me wanting to share with you, but I want to share, and I love it when that happens. It usually works out great. Wanting to share. Kim, what does it cost in this world? What do you have to not be doing if you're going to be loving?
Well, there's two sides to me. There's the love,
okay,
and there's the not love. So I have to choose which one I want to be at any given moment. So if I want to be loving, I have to be willing to not buy into the voices of the ego and the illusions, that part of me that I don't like, to choose that part of that me that I do like.
Yes. Oh boy, this is a real This is the contrast we're talking about. The part of you that's not loving has a plan. Probably some security, some judgments ready to fly that essentially make it safe. Mm-hmm. You don't have to interact.
Right, and I created that part of me, and so it's hard to let it go. It's scary to let it go.
Yeah, yeah. It knows a trick or two on how to make you happy, at least comfortable, at least warm.
Very tricky.
Warm, well-fed, with the right show.
Safe.
Huh?
Safe.
Yeah.
Safe.
Safe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very devious.
Yeah. And yet to be really loving, not very safe at all.
No.
It's not very anchored. The more anchored and safe and stayed and predictable you are, the less loving you're going to be available for.
Really?
Is love flexible?
Yeah.
Is love patient?
I think so.
Is love generous?
I've always thought so.
Is love open-minded?
Certainly.
Well, part of that is stayed and known. Well, part of that is predicted and guaranteed. So there becomes this choice. Of Course in Miracles says it 3 or 4 or 5 times, 4 times maybe. Pretty big, pretty high level teaching of the metaphysics of what we are and how we are. And that is this, that having and being are the same. And you basically said, in order for me to actually be loving here, I have to be the love that I want to experience. And not the fear, not the guilt, not the impatience, not the worry, not the vulnerable. I have to actually be the love that I would want to experience. Pretty good. Stephen.
Well, most of the time I'm swimming around in some world of notions and ideas and assessments of what it has ever been like to love somebody. Mm. And you hit the nail on the head, like, it's risky and it never turns out. So there's just like a measure, or like a what do you call it when you have a control on your car? I can't find the word right now, but you know, there's something that just says only this far.
A regulator.
Something that regulates it. Yes, I'm a self-regulating, yeah, only so far.
Yes.
But the kind of love that we're referring to here is, and that's basically what there is to give up, is all of the notions I have about what I think love is. And that's the only possible way to access really being loving. And we did a meditation, I don't know, it was a month or two ago, and I can't remember what the exact inquiry was, but it was something about, like, how does God love, or something like that. I don't remember exactly what
that's
it was.
That's God's answer.
But I had a profound experience that day. Like, I really had a moment where I was present only to what it would be like to be God loving everybody. And everything, and just being love, like as a, not as an action, not as, you know, nothing to prove, but just the purity of it.
Yeah.
And it was really, really profound. Because in that moment, sort of like, you know, I've talked about this before, when you're having a great meditation, you realize, wow, I'm having a great meditation. Well, so it was brief. Yeah. It was brief.
Yeah, okay.
But I really got present to how big it can be, how all-inclusive, when there's no measure, there's nothing to hold back. It's not personal.
Yes.
I think that's the thing, that's where I kind of got with it. It's not personal.
Yes.
And if I can give up all that I think is personal about it, then what I can let go of in the midst of that is the judgments and assessments that might have me have some measured way of being loving.
Beautifully said. Everybody here is right with you, I believe. Nicely done. And as far as those things being brief, of course they're brief. How big is the wake behind the boat crossing the ocean? before you see the wake, and then you look back and you look for the wake and it's gone, covered over by that busy ocean and the busy life that you live and the busy ego demands, covered over by that loving thought you had for the moment. But as it is, when you have a thought of love, when you have this experience of actually wanting to share and you capture it for a moment, this is like a single light in a very, very dark place. A world of conditions and the ego. A little light instantly grabs your attention, deeply known and never to be forgot. It can never be away from you again, even though it was weeks ago. But those precious moments, and you just turned your light on and gave it to all of us. I felt it. Even though it was brief, it is more powerful than perhaps years, sometimes lifetimes, of experiences to the contrary. The truth is true, and only that is true, and when we're exposed to the truth, there is a type of gravity that's so much more powerful than things that are false. Why we seek for the truth, it works. It's a keeper. It's got leverage. One moment like that can change your entire existence and what you teach others. So their existences too. Yeah. But I heard you say something really nice, really profound, and that was, to be truly loving, there would be no limit. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, all the time. Nice. Beautiful. Thank you. Julie, let me give up. Be loving.
I'm with Grace on this one. My way.
Yeah.
Control.
The highway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I feel like I've really been like grabbing hard onto my way for like a couple months, and it's just been so spiritually dry, and yet like I continue to think, but I can figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to do it.
Yeah.
You get to do it.
Exactly.
It doesn't do you.
And I know better.
Yes. So honest. So the way we live. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do it your way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just it. That's where I'm at.
Yep. That's good. So are we all. Walt, what do you have to give up? Let love be.
My identity is Walt. I wouldn't know who or what or.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's scary. Because right now I know.
Yes.
Who I am.
Yes.
I feel pretty safe.
Yes.
And I wouldn't know who or what I was.
Yes. Yeah. Walt has a way. Walt has a sound. Walt has a speed.
I wouldn't have any excuses.
Yeah. Yeah. Walt has places to hide and to be.
Yes.
And places not to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love, no bear such barriers. Love is limitless. Bright light goes on, it fills every corner. Mm-hmm. Like my way. Yeah, same, huh? Love is no respecter of name, place, time, size. No. Flows. Beautiful. Carol, what do you have to give up to loving?
You have to be totally outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to give up the need to feel that you know how to do it. That you, looking as if you're totally got it all together. You're more focused than looking at the other.
Yes.
You're feeling the other.
Yes.
Not your need to look good.
Yes.
Come across a certain way.
Yeah. That would get in the way, right?
Yeah.
Having yourself, referencing yourself in any way, bridging on what's being said here is very good, would be somehow a limit to being fully open to what's out there needing love, inviting love. So you would not be focused on yourself at all. The light leaves the sun. Leaves the flashlight, apparently. Not is projecting from the source. The love just flows and bathes whatever it finds without resistance. The tree gives its cool shade to saint and sinner alike. No matter. It's there. The shade is there. Take your rest. Nice. Michaeline.
Well, the first word that came to my mind was everything. And then I went to the past. I have to give up the past and I have to give up the future.
Mm.
And my ideas about that. Mm. So, and wow. Then give up my defenses.
Wow. So. All your preparation for a good, sane life.
For figuring it, having what's already happened and then what's going to happen. And
all the references to figure out, is this a loving situation now? It's out. Love does not compare. Mm-hmm. Love is. Like the shape of that tree is.
I think I heard something this week about love being a verb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or something. Well, maybe it wasn't a verb, but an act, mm-hmm. not a...
Yeah, it's an action. It's mm-hmm. a choice.
It's alive.
So it's a verb, not...
It is a...
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's alive.
So it's present.
Yeah.
It's a present tense... Verb.
It's an embrace.
It's not love. They're gonna love.
You know, yeah. Yeah. Loved more or loved less. Yes. No, it just is.
And then, of course, the defenselessness part of it's really vital to that.
Yeah. Great. All your preparation for even recognizing love would have to be given up. Mm-hmm. All the things that you think make you prepared to love when the time comes, gone.
Definitions and expectations.
Yes. This is one who is truly loving. This is the unconditional nature. Yeah. Donna, what's the cost of love?
Well, I've been on a lot of journeys since I started the meditation and listened to everything. I guess now I just want to share about this contrast, because you're talking about contrast. So when I was doing the meditation, I say the other part first. When I'm listening, I'm thinking about how for a lot of my life, I couldn't really use the words and saying I was trying to be loving, but I had it kind of as a thought that I'm going to be loving, and then I did a lot of service and I forgot myself in it, and I loved all those feelings, and I kept wanting to repeat, you know, having this experience of learning how to be loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good. It still was a choice, mm-hmm. and I liked the way I felt with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the experience of everything in my life crashing and going away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, and this is what came up in the meditation, is like, it seems like it's really asking me to just fall in. It's like if being a person, and identification was the word that identity, is going this way, it's asking me to just let go, and like I'm just going to fall in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back, mm-hmm. and it's just happening, and it keeps asking that. It doesn't seem like I'm just working on it every day. It seems like there's this big state,
yeah.
and to really let it happen,
yes.
is this edge that yes. I'm on. So yes. the other stuff doesn't work.
Letting it happen, fully volunteering to be in service. not knowing what the service means. If what we really need is somebody to mop the floor for this huge event, and Julie gets a much better job, you know, she's going to be handing out the free tickets for the lunch. That's awful fun compared to mopping floor. Would it in service? The loving service is completed by not what you're doing, but by your willingness to do it. The full volunteer nature, which you've totally experienced and lost yourself in. And then the situation was loving, not you.
Yes. But, you know, I think I was doing it from a place of enjoying the identity of it.
Now
it's like, that's what I'm trying to explain.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
It's coming from a different angle now.
Oh.
I lost identity, and then I started thinking, I've got to get it back, but then something in me stopped me and go, no, wait a minute.
Oh, the ego co-opted this beautiful experience? And it took a picture of it. you took a selfie while you're loving and say, that's me. The ego, right. Never underestimate the ego. But we're always useful though still. Even the ego's dreams of love, absolute fantasies, completely false, are useful. Because it is the direction of joining. It is the direction of happiness. Even though we terribly misled in its execution, still can be used by the Holy Spirit. And it absolutely will be. It's the energy, perhaps, that even drives you. I want real love this time. Good, Donna. New girl?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, thank you.
The word that came up for me was resistance, no? Like loving what is, the invitation of loving what is. And then I train like Aikido, so I use some of the language, you know, like when life throws you an attack, like a situation, like an illness or a loss, a situation in which, for me, my language is like, it brings up all my conditioning and all my resistance. So how to befriend, not let go of the, like, my own conditioning and my own whatever beliefs or hostility and... And that choice that people have been talking about, I choose to transform that news into blessings in disguise. Okay, what is the blessing? How is the universe showing up for me?
Yes.
Instead of seeing all the other stuff that's pretty, you know, like a situation where the rubber meets the road.
Yes.
I am facing stuff. Like,
yes.
You know, therapy, etc.
Yes. So be able to drop resistance, which is another way of saying trust. Trust first, and then work your way through the service as it comes. First gonna trust, knowing that love is here, and love will be, I will be the love I seek. Even through this horrible thing. And the other horrible thing that everybody's gonna go through and you haven't thought of yet. It's got everybody, every life. Yeah, it's coming. Oops. When you might grit your teeth over. Maybe you'll greet that with trust and say, bring it on. Bring it on. What love is going to come out of this? Good. What a switch. If you're going to resist, you better start early. So it has some benefit, because it's going to be hard to resist the right thing and not actually close the door that would be the way out. Like meeting the right person or the new job. Or the different place to live. If you're really resisting everything, you're also keeping all the doors closed. And the Holy Spirit can't reach you. And it won't be any fun. Ah. Yeah, good resistance. Is love resistant? It's good. No, it's instantly and fully trusting. Why is love so trusting, anybody? Why is it love and trust go together so closely? What? What is that?
It's part of our oneness.
A part of the oneness.
Yeah, it's who we are in truth.
Yeah.
And it's where we're connected.
Yeah. So there's no doubting involved there.
About if we're not thinking about it.
Right. Why is love and trust so closely?
There's doubt. It's not love.
Right. Yeah.
So it's truth. You can't make it wrong.
Well, love presupposes trust.
It presupposes trust.
It implies trust.
Uh-huh. Boy. Why? How does that work? What's this great attribute? Why love and trust are so tightly bound? What else? What else? Trust.
Sounds to me like trust is, lack of trust is a function of the ego, and so you're doing the opposite.
What's lack of trust afraid of?
That you might be hurting.
What? Yeah. It might hurt. You might lose. This situation is too expensive. I can't be loving now. It's too much. No. Love, trust. It's that trust. The all in. Fully loving is all in. Even while it has to stay late or miss something valuable to that little ego body that had a plan for your happiness, gladly give that up for you. Gladly give it up.
It's only when I've been trusting that I feel absolutely free.
Hello? Hello? Absolutely free. Like you did. Yeah. I like me. Yeah. Patricia.
Wait a minute, you skipped.
Oh, I skipped you. Oh.
This is going to get mundane because that's where I go when I go inside.
All right. Oh, well, that's not why I skipped you, though.
I know.
Luann, what's the cost of love?
I get resentful, which doesn't feel good.
Ooh, ooh, yes.
I'd have to give up resentment. And yes. I'd have to give up what I'm resentful about, which is that I want to be lazy. I don't want to have to think about it all the time. I don't have to work on it. I don't have to stay awake.
Yeah.
And I get resentful that I have to stay awake because if I go to sleep, then the ego's in control.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. Oh, I think all of us, you hit a chord with all of us there. Mm-hmm. Right? If I love, so also will come expectations of loving coming back, easy street, everything's right, it's not going to be hard.
I'm basically lazy.
Yeah, and I'd rather not have to work for what I want the most.
Vigilance.
I don't know if it's vigilance. It's more like awareness. Vigilance means I have to fight for it. Awareness just means it's there.
I have to stay awake.
You gotta stay awake.
I thought you meant
in order to keep it.
Nighttime sleeping, like you just wanted to sleep all day, and I was like, I
need to.
I got it.
Oh, she gotta get me a hug for that one.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. I mean,
if
I have to stay
awake,
I get it. Awake the presence of love.
Yep, that's that vigilance. Yeah. Right, because the ego will slip in, and then it won't be so loving, and actually find problems with what was loving.
It's just easy to let the ego have its way.
Mm-hmm. It's pernicious, isn't it?
It is. It is easier to let the ego have its way.
Yes.
Let the ego win, and you don't have to think about anything. Just do whatever.
Yep.
And I don't like having to stay awake, and that I'm driven to stay awake, and it's the only time when I feel free. Mm-hmm. It's the only time when I feel like I am who I am. Mm-hmm. If you ask me who I am, I would say I don't know.
And if you have a pattern of allowing the ego to come in and be suspicious or vicious and other people expect to dub you anyway, how much easier to let the ego come in and just take over?
Mm-hmm. That's easy.
Oh!
Nothing mundane about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, yeah. Yeah, there's the gravity of the ego.
To me, it's kind of sadly mundane.
Yes.
Business as usual.
Well, what does mundane mean? Literally,
of
the world. Based on mundum. Based on the world. Mundane.
That's
worldly.
That's the kind of mundane I meant.
Like pretty appropriate.
I get it now. Yeah.
Pretty appropriate.
Right.
You'd have to give up being worldly.
That's it.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Trisha.
I was thinking of avoidance.
Indeed. Be loving. You have to give up avoidance. Face everything and avoid nothing. Be present. all the time.
Mm-hmm. There's a strange concept to think of not thinking. Mm. Like you have to think in order to judge, or you have to think in order to label a situation or a person. Mm. But if that was eliminated, then it's almost like the thinking process is so much in like wrapped up in that, I think, on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Don't think. Yeah. I write it on my wrist. I wake up in the morning, it's like, just don't think. Yeah. The day will go so much better if I just don't use my mind. Unless, like, you have to for, like, studying or something. But
at least follow the bumper sticker you see around town. I have it on my refrigerator still. Don't believe everything you think.
Or you're not what you think. Or there's a couple versions.
Is it really? Okay, yeah.
Just don't.
Nice. I know, you're thinking. You're stinking. It gets you in all the
stinking
trouble.
Stinking thinking.
All the trouble you've ever had. So your own thoughts.
Look that up on stinking thinking. And I forget where it goes back to. It goes back to Zig Ziglar.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Zig Ziglar.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you.
I stole it from you.
Yeah, I must have stolen it from Zig Ziglar.
I think we all.
Yeah. So, what's the cost of love?
The one word I have is certainty.
Ah, nice.
Certainty.
Yeah.
Yeah. We crave certainty.
Yes.
And it's a risk. And that's why there's fear. And it might not be reciprocated.
Uh-huh.
So it's a gamble.
Yep. Yes.
You know that?
The ego likes certainty, I think. I think the ego likes a sure bet.
Okay, that's
sure bet. Describe it. Mm-hmm. Tell me the cost, and I'll tell you if I'm willing to pay it. Mm-hmm. Then I'll love you.
Conditionally.
Spell it out.
Conditionally.
I'm willing to love, okay? Just spell it out. Tell me what.
What's it going
to
cost?
It's going to cost. It's involved. And when and how long.
Then. Are
we talking Friday and Saturday night? Is that what we're talking about? I might have to get back to you a bit.
Is that real love, though?
Do I get to decide? Sometimes? You know, do I get to be selfish here and there with true love? Or is it uncertain all the time what's going to be happening? What will my service look like?
The other thing that really caught my attention was something somebody said about the more anchored you are, maybe it was you, the more anchored you are, the less available you are for love.
Yep.
And that one really kind of like stuck in the back of my head, because it's like, okay, I think I personally like a lot of certainty. I like things to go a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, wow, is that, like, how much does that block you from ever being available to some thing you don't even know exists?
That's it.
You may be avoiding something that you don't even know, and then it's like the greatest thing you ever took a chance.
That's it. Doors are closed and held closed, and they're not even seen as a door. I don't even know.
You guys, the other thing, you know, trust for me means if I'm trusting, then whatever comes to me that feels good, it automatically feels good and automatically feels right, and it flows like a river, just really easy.
The benefit of the trust we're talking about, even if it feels bad, it still flows like a river. And love is right around the corner.
And yeah, because it doesn't mean that it's bad because it feels bad.
Yes. Like tough love with your child.
Yeah.
You know it's the right thing and there will be no other way.
It's like being in that place where, no, sorry, no way. That doesn't mean that's bad.
Uh-huh.
That's just the, that's just the stepping stone.
Yes, the stepping stone, right? Mm-hmm.
It's the contrast.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
The edge.
Yep. I've been crossing a creek for a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's
watch out for the green
two
rocks.
Two more rye.
Don't step on the green ones like Michaeline did.
Yeah,
that's
the mossy
not...
ones, no doubt. They're a little slippery.
Brother John, what's the cost of love?
Well, I think the Course tells us, does it not, that there are two emotions, love and fear?
Yeah.
And so I think that ultimately the cost of love is simply fear.
Yeah.
And you give up fear, allow love to come in.
Yeah.
With the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Guided by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And
just like that.
Cost of love is fear to me.
Yep. Just like that. Marianne Williamson's book, Love is Letting Go of Fear.
Yeah.
Based on Course in Miracles. Yep, love and fear. Incompatible.
No one such thing as fear.
Yeah, but yeah, fear would block the awareness of love's presence. And then as we start learning, as we get up into chapter 4, my favorite sentence in the whole book probably, fear is a call for love,
right,
in unconscious recognition of what's been denied,
mm-hmm,
which was love. Now,
it kind of cancels out fear.
Love. Yeah. Fear is a call for love, which is actually love, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel it. I want it. I want it now. Please, I want love now. That's fear. This is only love. There only is love. And denying love is still mean you're denying what? Love. It's still love. This is why this is a book about awakening to the simple truth. So, let's dig in. Our preparation is over. We spent the last 4 meetings without even reading our target paragraph, but studying the idea of guilt. Because it's such a big cornerstone to the ego's reality. The ego's truth is founded on guilt is real. The reason why you might be afraid is because you could lose something and he would be guilty for taking it, or you would be guilty for not keeping it. But either way, there's guilt, of course, in the world. Guilt is the foundation of the experience of this world. It's the metaphysics of the ego are founded on guilt. This is why we spent so many, and we could have gone on, and one day we probably will, I don't know, you know, one day we probably will go on, maybe do an intensive on guilt alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody would show up. I mean, who wants to talk about guilt like this?
Because we're all guilty.
It's like I'm going not to be guilty. I'll be loving.
Like, nah, I got that one down.
Guilt.
Bad,
I got so. The guilt down. I can skip it. Yeah. I'll go hungry. Whoever showed up will go hungry for sure.
It's like our culture, our ego, the way we brought up, says you can have all kinds of negative emotions, but not guilt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And as soon as you say, I can't have guilt, then you're saying you're denying everything else.
What if you feel guilty about it?
And that's the point.
Oh, no.
You feel guilty about having guilt.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And that's why we don't, that's why we deny guilt, because we don't even want it. Guilt produced everything else, so who wants to have that?
Yeah. But yet remember that guilt is pervasive in this world. It is not necessary. It's a thought that you carry up with all of your judgment and your fear and your conditionals. And guilt is something that is made up. It's quite persistent, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the ego doesn't let up on that one.
Guilt is so essential to the way we live our worlds outside this room. It needs to be busted. And the workbook will do this for you. It will bust your addictions to the ego one at a time. But remember, we talked about last week, guilt is a coin of the ego. But like all things ego, it's opposite to love. It's opposite to what you really want. What you really want, you want a lot of, right? With guilt, you want as little as possible. Get it out of here. He did it. He did it. And that wasn't me.
It's so scary that you need to project it away from you.
Yeah. Yes.
You must shove the blame on something or someone else.
Right, and then convince yourself that it belongs there.
And feel righteous doing it.
Yes. Maybe even punish and get them to say they're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide to mete out the punishment at that point or not.
Validate yourself.
But it validates yourself as not the guilty.
Right. It's like an escape valve.
Yeah. Yeah. Or so, if you're calling yourself guilty and there's nobody there to let you off the hook.
Then you get angry because you feel guilty, and anger is easier than guilt.
And then eventually you could only be angry at God. Who else can you blame it on? It must be truth. I gotta blame it on truth. If I'm guilty, it's because I'm truly guilty. I gotta blame it on truth. But you don't realize you're blaming it on God. Oh, God will forgive me when I get to heaven. If I ever get there. No, God's not like that. That's not what God is in this book. Alright, so there will be more to say about guilt. Let's move on. So are you ready, Pam?
No, not really at all.
Page 410 in the text.
Yeah.
So for the newbies, the page numbers restart a few times. So this is the first time it says 410.
And also the hardcovers have different page numbers, don't they?
Wait, chapter 19.
Well, no, it's chapter 19, yeah. Yeah, page 410 in the text, in the front of the book. 410. And I don't think we have anybody living with a first edition in this room. So we all should be second edition at the same 410.
Okay. Yeah. I have a first edition at home.
Okay, leave it there. Don't go get it.
I brought it the first time I came.
I know.
Yeah. I brought it the first couple of times until I figured it out. I didn't feel guilty about it.
Okay, so Pam, when you're ready, let's read that. The attraction of guilt, paragraph 10.
Faith is the opposite of fear. No?
It's actually page 410, paragraph 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Forgive in.
Whoopsies.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay. Here we go. The attraction of guilt produces fear of love, for love would never look on guilt at all. It is the nature of love to look upon only the truth, for there it sees itself, with which it would unite holy union and completion. As love must look past fear, so must fear see love not. For love contains the end of guilt as surely as fear depends on it. Love is attracted only to love. Overlooking guilt completely, it sees no fear. Being wholly without attack, it could not be afraid. Fear is attracted to what love sees not, and each believes that what the other looks upon does not exist. Fear looks on guilt with just the same devotion that love looks on itself, and each has messengers which it sends forth and which return to it with messages written in the language in which their going forth was asked.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pam. Do you see the circle? What is the law of love equals the law of mind equals the law of spirit in this book?
As you give, you receive.
As you give, you receive. Do you see the circle? As you give, you receive. That means you receive as you give. As much as you receive will be as much as you give. And we're not talking quantity and quality. We're talking, since love has this essence of truth, of being, as you give yourself available to the service, then the love shows up in whatever you're doing. As little as it may be, if you're fully shown up, if you fully give yourself, the love fully is there, even in the smallest little moment.
Why I want to be lazy and not have to work on that.
Why not? That's right, it'll come to you.
Take a nap.
Take a nap. Try the sleeping thing. I like it. Yes. Okay. Detraction of guilt produces fear of love. For love would never look on guilt at all. What do you mean the attraction of guilt? Everybody just went around the room and we talked about the cost of love. And so if you were to not have love, you would be using the conditionality, using your personal sense of freedom. I know what makes me happy. using your way to make you happy, this would be at the cost of love. But you would use these things like guilt, like fear, like conditionality, like a plan, like certainty. Let me just get my checklist out. Let me see. Not today. No. The certainty is a coin that's used to make sure nothing bad happens. How innocent is that? So I'm telling you, all of these things have their foundation in guilt. It will be further discussed here if you come back. We have not touched on the ultimate metaphysics of guilt that this book teaches. I've never seen it anyplace else. Actually, I've heard anybody else talk about it, but I'm sure I know what guilt means in this book now after these years of studying. And it is so essential that it's something that you have to wake up to. I will speed you up as much as I can. But there is an essential freedom and awakening from the human condition that comes from what this book actually means by guilt that is mind-blowing. It is the key to happiness. It does unlock the presence of love everywhere. When you recognize how metaphysical, how deep, how essential this book is talking about. What the word it's using is guilt, but it's beyond what's in the dictionary. It's what makes you able to be conditional.
Dictionary. I don't even have to buy a new one to go back and forth to see.
What makes you think certainty is good?
Separation?
The separation is... guilt is the glue.
Have to do with unconscious guilt?
You could say unconscious because you're so drunk on it. It's like an alcoholic.
The point of the ego, didn't you say that a few weeks ago?
Yes.
You said it just now.
Did you? Yeah. You recognize that an alcoholic is already a drinker, right? That's not the unconscious guilt that he's pointing at. You already believe it so much that it's what you do, or it's drugs, or it's gambling, or it's sex, or it's sugar. These are things that are trusted beforehand, already. I do my drug, I get whatever I get for my drug, and I know I'll get it, so I'm just going to do it again. Anger is another one. If you're an angry person, you know somebody who is, they go to anger because they really believe it works. They say, you can't be so peaceful. You're bottling up your anger. You're going to explode. That's what they say, right? They say, you got to let your anger out. What is it? Nurturing? What is it? What do we say? What does the ego say? What?
They say it's healthy.
It's healthy. It's cathartic. It's healthy. It's honest. What else?
They use it as a tool, some of them.
Yes?
But anger is a tool. They get angry and they can intimidate people. They get angry... And they can get away from the fear they feel.
It's part of the control.
And then it works.
Yeah.
So you know what? You do it again next time too, because it works. And so the world is using these tools that are not love, but that's what the world is—the place where you can use things that are not love.
I know when I'm feeling angry, I know that it's a huge that I'm blocking something that I need to be really aware of. That I'm not wanting to see something in what the situation is or what's really happening.
Can you see the circle in what she's describing? All those knots. She said knot like 5 times. Anger is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So what about sadness?
Sadness is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Here's how it works. You think about something, okay, and it's sad. It's sad because you thought about it enough to recognize, oh, no, that's me that's going to not get or be or have. It's me who's lacking. It's very sad to think of me as lacking like that. When you say to yourself it's sad, the body is a pharmacy. The brain is a factory for certain chemicals. And when you ask, I'll take two doses of sadness, please. Well, guess what? a little squirt goes in. It's only micrograms. But there are little hormones in your brain that are designed for sadness. And they're so terribly close to the ones for love, it's embarrassing. But no, they make you feel sad instead.
They're commingled
now. You ask, you say this is sad, and the body says, taking orders here, I serve, I'm here, I live to serve you. That's your body. It doesn't care.
I love sadness. I listen to songs that make me feel sad, or I'll watch a movie that makes me feel sad.
Scratches that itch, yeah, right?
It's
people pay good money after a great day of just kissing their lovely little children to go see a horror movie where the head gets cut clean off and then rolls down the road just to get hit by a bus. All filmed perfectly. Yeah,
a school bus.
Did you see that? They pay for that. Nonetheless, you call for it and it will be answered, as we're about to read in this very paragraph. Each love and fear or guilt send out messengers who are programmed to report back that which they were sent to find. I feel sad. Show me more sad things. Nobody likes to be sad alone.
So you're saying we create our reality with our thoughts?
Am I saying that? Anybody? Am I trying to say?
I think I have heard him say that.
I think that's really close.
Our perception.
Yeah.
Our perception.
Our thoughts. Perceptions come from your thoughts.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them is a witness to what you prescribe, what you ordered to have happen will happen. You are a creator after all. So I say, often seek no further than your thoughts. If you think something's sad, it's because, ready? I know this is complex, so I'm going to say it slowly. You thought it was sad. Did you catch that? If you think something's sad, it's because you thought it was sad. Am I going too fast? But it's so true, right?
So integrate the feeling of sadness with what you're saying.
Here, the next thing, the next step. If you think something is sad, it's because you thought it was sad. And then the body is going to respond, as the body does, with the right chemical to have the experience which you asked for. By saying, oh my God, this is sad. I'm not kidding. You guys, you hear the news today? I hate to bring this up during the meeting because, God, this should never happen to anybody. But everybody's lowering down, right? You're getting ready for some sadness, aren't you? Aren't you? Aren't you guys getting ready to dial it back? Don't smile, don't laugh. This is going to be...
What happened? Yeah.
Right? What happened? You guys should know this. If you haven't read the paper, you should know that this happened today. And here's what it is. Right, your body's preparing the chemicals to
hurt.
Yeah, right? The body's going to drag your heart down and prepare
what's
you.
What's shooting the
murder? I made it up. Okay.
I know.
But you know, right? Every 20 seconds, right? There's something out there. Exactly. So that's the next step of the self-fulfilling prophecy. Do you see the circle forming? You thought a sad thing could be happening, then you thought it is happening, and your body said, okay, I know what to do, one shot of sadness. Okay? Then you feel the sadness hit your body. Everybody, when you're afraid, like scared, where do you feel it first? Put your hand on it.
My stomach.
Right? That's because there is a gland there that shoots adrenaline into your bloodstream for survival of the animal. Adrenaline burns. It's toxic. But it dilutes into the system and helps your muscles react faster. That's it, burn. That's all, for crying out loud. You thought about it. You felt it. Now what? Now, because you feel...
It's real.
It must be real. Because feelings don't lie. Oh no, it's really sad. I think I'm going to have to cry now. Tears, please. It's getting worse because now I see how sad it really is. The truth has come. It's sad. And then the body starts to... a few more squirts of the right hormone. And then the tears come. And the tears are witness of what? real sadness. I mean, really, really sad. It's one thing to think it, but to cry it out?
That's great.
You're bumming me out here, Andrew.
And then, outside of us, to our loved ones, or you witnessing somebody who's gone into this, can you see the circle going on? This chasing your own tail, going down cycle, empathetic neurons. The body's built with this ability to feel what somebody else is feeling. You all know about this?
Right.
Mirror neurons. Yes. The mirror neurons are built, it's built in, it's part of our system. We're wired that way. Ah, so it's contagious. The feeling. Okay, so before course, BC, I like to say. So BC, your feelings are crap. They're really uninformed. They're informed by the ego. They're not informed by truth. They're blind. Following the blind.
They are, but if you go to your feelings, which is what I do a lot.
Okay.
I find out what I'm believing.
Yes.
And then right. I use that to stop feeling sad or to stop feeling fear.
Nice. Well, that's what we're talking about. As long as you catch what you're believing is not true. If you catch what you're believing is true without a good therapist or good guide or some sanity or this book, you're just going to keep going. It's worse. Here's a reason why. The reason why is because your mother mistreated you and she was an alcoholic. It's well known, right? We're not hiding that anymore. She was such a horrible alcoholic that you did not have proper mothering. Now, because you don't have a proper mother, you've never been shown what it means to love. So that's why your life is so difficult, is because you didn't have a childhood. Yeah. See you next week. $120. It'll work for you. Mm-hmm. Now, it can be helpful with the right guide in the right direction. Absolutely. In fact, it can be save you tons of grief with the right guide. Which is what all this book is, just a guide. This book is psychotherapy. I call it a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. Great trip. Mm-hmm. But it's a trip, right? We are undoing following the ego's ways. We're undoing the emotions that are formed by separation and guilt and condition and needing certainty and doubt and fear as a good idea. Raising your voice when you communicate and getting angry as a good way to communicate. We're dropping all of that.
And we're experiencing joy in things that we never really understood before.
Yes.
Because, and that for me has been the motivator, I mean, the inspiration or whatever you call it.
Yes.
For continuing, because that kind of adrenaline is so, I don't know what the word is.
Lightness of being.
Yeah.
Peace is what I get out of course.
In the face of darkness.
Here and there.
Yeah, it's like
here
and there. Floating. It's like the real experience of floating above the
yes.
stuff.
Yes, the stuff is the point. The contrast is there is stuff and you're floating above it. Floating above on the fourth day of a 10-day vacation and you just feel free because there's no work. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's when there's difficulty and you're not dragged into it. In mm-hmm. fact, you're patient. You're feeling like you're going to be trusting. You're feeling that you're going to be gentle with this difficult situation. You're feeling that you want to share some of your strength for the weak one who's really going down fast. This is what we're talking about. You're above the battleground.
Oh, I remember that.
That's a section in the text called Above the Battleground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is to transcend the darkness. It's a lightness of being in the face of a dark invitation. Mm.
It's is that a quote from the book?
No, I just made it up.
Very but, nice.
Yeah, that's okay.
Don't start.
This is.
I want you to say it again because I got the lightness of.
It's a lightness of being that is existing during the invitation to darkness.
The funny thing is, though, when you're in the lightness of being, you don't see that invitation to darkness. It's not even. You don't even realize it's there.
It does nothing.
Yeah.
It's not even there.
Oh,
if you're seeing the darkness, you're kind of your ego's invading into that lightness.
The darkness looks like somebody yelling at the top of their lungs with their finger pointed out and your name every fourth word.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. So you see it, you recognize it, and yet you're not taking it personally. Mm-hmm. In fact, you're ready to surround it with love, appropriate love. Which may
recognition is the word. Recognition is the word.
Yes. Yes. The Holy Spirit's that way. The Holy Spirit sees your illusions. The stinking, horrible sadness that may show up. The Holy Spirit is a witness to that. What? I thought the Holy Spirit was only holy and couldn't see any of that? No. That's what we call God. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the part of your mind that's still connected to the truth and never loses sight of it. The Holy Spirit is the intermediary that would be the bridge that would take you from your stinking thinking, which is sad, depressed, and dark. Cross over the Holy Spirit bridge that see is connected to the darkness too, but only knows the light is true. So it doesn't believe the guilt is true. It doesn't believe the sadness. It doesn't believe in loss. So it's not affected by it.
It gently leads you away from it.
Very gently. And very patiently, because after all, it's leading you from nothing. So, whenever you get around to it, come on along. It's great on the other side of this bridge. And I'll be here, let's see, forever, waiting for you. Let me check my watch again. Yeah, that's forever.
I call that acceptance.
Acceptance is a beautiful word. Yes.
I accept you the way you are, and if you change, I'll accept that, and if you change some more, I'll accept that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, is no judgment.
No judgment available. Defenseless. Yes. Yes. All right. Let's continue. Okay, the attraction of guilt produces fear of love, see, because guilt is the way the coin you've been using to keep your separation running. It's been working for you. But we're here, everybody's here in this room to bust that pattern, that habit of being so careful, of being so protected, being so defended, of being so ego, so judgy. Yeah. For love would never look on guilt at all. It's the nature of love to look upon only the truth, for there it sees itself. Now watch this circle. For there, on the truth, love sees the truth. It sees love, with which it would unite in holy union and completion. As love must look past fear. Look at those words. Love looks past fear, seeing through it, past it. So must fear, as an opposite, see love not at all. Fear is workable and successful. A really good fear, there's no hope. You are already losing. It's just a matter of how much more are you going to lose. That's fear. There's no hope. That's a good fear.
I came up against that this week.
Did you?
With someone who is there.
Okay.
And I really was just with them. I didn't have any words. It was the core despondency of no hope.
Yes.
And that's really tough.
Yes. You recognize how much Buddhism is in A Course in Miracles, right?
Yeah.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And you know Buddhism, the Four Noble Truths,
right.
Is this, God, our life is suffering. Attachment is the cause of suffering. You want to suffer less? Don't be so attached to outcome.
But it reflected what I felt in the past.
Oh, you recognized it.
I recognized it because I had felt it.
Yes, yes.
And that even left me even more speechless because
yes.
I was really recognizing without getting caught up in the emotion.
No, that's great, Micheline. Because, you know, that's talked about in the book too. Is that in order for you truly to be helpful, you would actually recognize the difficulties of one who would need your help. And it doesn't sound like this. Oh, just stop crying.
Oh, no.
It'd be better. Just, you know, the sun always shines too.
It could be worse. Challenging.
Could be worse. Let me tell you how bad it was for me. You're lucky this doesn't happen. Let me tell you what could happen.
Yeah, I almost said to myself, which helped me identify it, was that I was there with kids.
Yes.
And you don't have kids.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's when I saw, wow.
Yes, yes.
And I got like,
oh, yes,
totally
yes.
sucked into that.
Yes.
I recognized it.
Yes.
And then, you know, that was a thought. I didn't, yes. of course, I was still with the person, so I wasn't.
It's so deep, right?
Oh,
you
wow.
remembered how deep and heavy that thought, that experience is. Now, I hope after tonight's meeting, everybody recognizes that in order for you to get that deep and that heavy, even with kids, it means the body was responding to a cascade of thoughts and analysis and worry. And remember, worry and knocking your head against the wall have one thing in common.
A lot.
They only
so grateful when
you're so grateful when it stops.
When it stopped, it was like
yeah. It only stops hurting when you stop doing it.
Well, I felt sort of full of gratitude that I was able to sit with the person without going there,
scaling, comparing,
without
yes.
talking about. Oh, I know it. You know,
yes.
It was
the opposite of love would be to invalidate their experience. Hey, at least you don't have kids. It's not as bad as you think.
Yeah. Well, even more than that, I mean, through her whole experience
yes.
and the layer yes. upon layer of
yes.
what's wrong
yes.
in life. Well, I love this when things fall apart. Things were falling apart. And I
yes.
was able, because of learning that things were falling apart for this person.
Yes.
That's not who they were.
That's right. And things fall apart in quite a mechanical way. Yes, there are life circumstances that will take away something treasured. Some way you wish it was. Life happens. It happens like all of us. But now I want you to be looking to be able to join with them, not on their circumstance,
mm-hmm.
but on their ego cycle. See the circle. See the innocence of what they're dripping into. They've been squeezing on that hormone of sadness and of fear. And of course they're getting it. And there's no quick way out of that because they're drowning in it. It's like somebody who's drunk doesn't become sober. They stop drinking for a while. You stop putting the bottle to your lips for a while. And it's the same thing with the ego. And all the effects of the ego. The key is that you would not allow your sympathetic neurons, the mirror neurons, to jump in there and bring a mood of sadness, which would be under the guise of kindness. The ego's promise of happiness is join with them in their sadness. Course in Miracles says, join with them in their holiness, regardless of whatever sickness they are exhibiting. See them not as sick for both of you.
Oh,
and it's contagious.
Tendency to want to fix, tendency to want to,
yes.
you know, for every little thing, well, I could do this, I could give transportation.
You don't validate your sadness.
Right,
right, right.
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 Yep, that's, yep.
You don't make it real. What chapter is that in?
Oh, my God.
I heard that.
Oh, yeah, there's several places
yeah.
that it says that, and there's a whole chapter.
Not to sympathize with.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter. I forget what number it is, but it's like I think it's early up. The healing of sickness.
Yeah, it is. And I was reading that
as
you know part of my text reading that I'm
yeah.
doing every day, and that's where I was. I was
yeah
on that section.
Nice. Aha. Good. Yes.
So that's what's happening as things that
yes.
I'm working on are showing up and
a perfect
I'm
teacher
reading.
Perfect teacher has arrived.
Oh right.
For
I
you,
can laugh. I can.
Your friend who's super sad, that's the teacher. You're the student.
Yeah, she's. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't. How could I recognize it
yeah.
without her?
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's where my gratitude came in.
Yes, like, and wow. you are there to help. You're there to heal, and you will become the healed healer as you recognize in her sadness your own teacher. And you'll be able to teach it back to her in the very same words she'll understand because you join with her.
Yeah, that's when I stay silent and just
yeah.
not try to use that other stuff.
Yeah, good.
You know, I also think the Holy Messenger brings us the lessons we need for that moment.
What kind?
And my clients come and they tell me a story and I think, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I'm working my own way through.
Yes.
All the time.
It's that like makes the you the perfect that... help. Because you really understand them and they can see it in your eyes. And you're not blowing them off. You actually are looking at them compassionately in those moments, and they know it. They're not alone.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. Yes. Okay, we only have 15 minutes left. See if we can get this paragraph through. I mean, we don't want to skip anything.
I doubt it.
Okay, it's been a long time coming, like a month. Okay. Okay, so sentence two in paragraph one. It's the nature of love to look upon only the truth, for there, in the truth, love sees itself, with which it would unite in holy union and completion. As love must look past fear, so fear must see love not. For love contains the end of guilt, as surely as fear depends on guilt. Now there's love and guilt in the same sentence. And fear. Indicating, I got some of my awakening on how guilt really is at the very bottom and essential driver of the ego's way. The glue of separation, what permits the ego to be defensive at all, is that this guilt thing is actually a power. It's real.
So the answer to your first question is, what's the cost of love? Is you have to give up guilt.
Yep. Okay. Yep. But you would really need a guide, like the workbook, to find how mm-hmm. guilt works in your life so much. And all its flavors, all its cousins. You'd need to bust it and catch it and let it go. Because it will just continue to come back as a habit does. So you pick it up and look at it and then let it go with a good guide. Yes. Okay. Beautiful sentence five. Love is attracted only to love. Isn't that good news and bad news? That means you can't pour love on hate and just have it dissipate. The hate does not welcome the love solution. That's why I say there is a cost to love.
What do you mean by that sentence? The love and the hate.
You see, if hate is being used and idolized and worshipped, anger, hate, attack, if attack is a tool that's being trusted for success or your happiness, pouring a bunch of love on that trusted approach of attack, it will just bounce off like a force field.
Another person or that person themselves?
Either. Doesn't matter. Do you see? It's the opposite of love, made from the same source of love. Attack is a power. Guilt is a power. Anger is a power. Coming from the same source as love. What do you mean the same source? No, Andrew. You are so wrong. You missed catechism entirely. You see? Mm-hmm. Hate comes from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And love comes from God. That's what duality is, folks. That's where we have opposing forces that are left intact. This is not... That's not spirituality. That's a religion. And it has its place. When you need to draw, you know, cartoons and characters to show the opposing forces, and that's fine. But we're talking unity. A Course in Miracles is a book on non-dualism. It's actually a book on how all is one. Now, it is actually one. Even the ugliness I'm describing comes from the same source as the love that I'm describing. Now, that's good news. There's no power keeping it away from you. The same power that would make you angry or afraid is the same power that would show you how it's a call for love. Instantly! Not after you do your Hail Marys or pay your fees or do your meditation for so long mm-hmm. or behave right every single day for 3 months in a row, then you'll know you're actually good. No! Julie.
But to Carol's point, and then a follow-up question, is it that you can't pour love onto hate, because that would still be recognizing the duality, but if you become truly loving, there just is no hate.
Correct.
Is that what you're, is that why you're
correct.
Saying?
Correct. Love is at the expense of hate. Hate is at the expense of love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are mutually exclusive because each spends the other one's mind share. Mm-hmm. They do not coincide ever. There is no neutral. They do not coincide. They use up power. They use up the mind.
So, but like in that, if you had the shift in perception,
yes.
and a miracle occurred, so you were seeing the hate,
yes.
but you were able to like have like the forgiveness of your own thought,
yes. Seeing the hate from what perspective?
The ego.
If you see the hate from the ego's perspective, it's a good tool, but I think what you meant...
Got it. From, yeah, okay.
From your Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
yeah.
part of your mind that was quiet in the situation, right? When you see the hate verb, the hate actions, from a part of your mind that is not hateful, which, thank God, is always there.
Right.
That's what this book means by the Holy Spirit, by the Christ mind. Part of your mind is actually not sick. Part of your mind is actually still as God created it. It has
so
to be because
duality,
it's true.
The duality would just disappear.
That's what we call a miracle.
Yeah.
We call a miracle the moment of the duality disappearing, because you did not morph, polish your perception. You shifted it. You abandoned the hate. And you picked up the love, and said, now show me this with love's perspective. What we did last week or a couple weeks ago is what would truth's answer be? What God's answer be?
I don't know who said fixing, but so the way you frame not pouring love onto fear is, or hate is, because you're still in the mindset of fixing.
Yes.
And it's, there's really nothing to fix except your own thought.
Right.
Correct. But well said.
Right.
Lesson 236. I rule my mind, comma, which I alone must rule. So it is with the person who you would pour love all over. Mm-hmm. They have to rule their own mind. There's no amount of love that comes from you that will actually go in and change their thoughts. They must change their thoughts. You can give them a wonderful... a fertile ground of love and patience and trust, open-mindedness, kindness. You be defenseless. You be patient. You give them space, but don't expect that that's going to change their mind. It's up to them. It will change your mind.
So love is freedom.
That's what
Grace
said.
Can I tell an example of that? I had such an epiphany last year, and it ended with coming to this class and a bowl ceremony at church. Mm-hmm. And what I realized, I said this before, was I can't take care of my daughter and her daughter and make them okay
yep.
again.
Yep.
And what I came up with is the only thing I can do is love them both.
Yep.
Well, last Monday, the 22nd, was my daughter's birthday. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't talked to her daughter in a friendly way in 9 months, and vice versa. And she said to me on Tuesday, she said, Mom, I had a thought yesterday. This is after I gave up thinking there's anything I could do to change her, except just to love her. She said, what I realized is if Shanna called me and said, Happy birthday, Mom, I'd be really angry, given the circumstances. And then she put a smile on her face, and she said, makes me want to cry a little bit, with joy, you guys. She said, and you know, if she doesn't call me and say happy birthday, I'm going to be angry at her.
Isn't that the truth?
And I thought she's beginning to realize. Oh, she said, I put Shanna in a lose-lose situation.
Nice.
And I said, yes. I didn't say it out loud, but I laughed with her.
Nice.
Because absolutely, she's changing nice. Somehow her way of thinking on her own.
And she would have to.
Yeah.
Yes, and she's now seeing it. Yeah.
She's beginning to see that her anger is not getting her anywhere.
Beautiful.
Putting her relationship in a lose-lose situation.
That's it.
Yeah. God.
It's great.
Yeah.
Just like that. Which is the truth of what I just said. Thank you. She must rule her mind. She alone can rule her mind. Nobody goes and changes her thoughts. No amount of love that you force on her, pour on her, wrap her in, can change her mind. Which explains your teenager, you know? All these things you try to do to help them think differently. Though they will when they will. You just create a fertile soil for peace and love to grow. You can't force a plant to grow. The seed has to do
so. You have someone's anger coming at you.
Yes?
You do need to be defensive and to see the fear, but I think you have to respond with love.
You need to duck.
Exactly.
Don't be a fool, right?
Yeah.
However, maintain the attitude of love the whole way through. If you're going to be loving, if you just want to feel loving, if you don't want to contribute to the problem,
yeah,
then don't let your ego drive with a bunch of defense. No. Now, I don't say you're not a doormat either. Do offer the truth, but not 17 times in a row and raising your voice each time. They didn't respond to it because they don't want it to be true. They heard it the first time. That's what's giving them fuel for their fire. Don't play that game. Just stay in love. And love will be way more powerful. Your patience, let them spend all their energy and they'll say, okay, now that you've spent so much time listening to me, what do you think? After 3 days.
Defense is another word for fighting.
Yep. Yep. Yep, you bet. Okay. Okay, it's 6.
Sure.
Watch this. I can rip this out in 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's only, what, 6 sentences?
We've got to talk about it, sure.
Overlooking guilt. 10, overlooking guilt completely. Love sees no fear. Being holy without attack. You did great. It could not, right? Could not be afraid. Look at that. Attack and fear are going hand in hand in that sentence, and you know he hits that in the workbook, starting with lesson 23 and keeping it up. I can give up the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. Lesson 23. Here it is right here in this sentence. Overlooking guilt completely, love sees no fear. Being holy without attack, love could not be afraid. Fear and attack go hand in hand, linked. Like the handle and the end of the bat are linked. Being holy without attack, it could not be afraid. Fear is attracted to what love sees not. And each believes that what the other looks upon does not exist. Each believes what the other looks upon, that love looks on love, fear looks on fear. Each believes the other looks on does not exist, fear looks on guilt, with just the same devotion that love looks on love. And each has messengers which it sends forth and which return to it with messages written in the language in which their going forth was asked. And isn't that the circle that we've been describing over and over again? Okay, I'm moving my marker. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. You have commanded your body to take that breath. May your body never command you again. And that means you don't follow its little chemicals that somehow get squirt into your blood. And then you go on about that for 20 minutes or 20 days. No, it really is a self-fulfilling prophecy this whole life. And your whole existence beyond this life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. As you think it, then it is. It's what has allowed you to become so angry at times, so fearful at times, so worried at times. It's what exactly will allow you to be so patient at times, so loving at times, to be that person that you really want to experience at times will become from the exact same point as in all the things you didn't want. This is how close you are to your personal freedom. You're one thought away. Your thought away. This is giving you and your creation this power. it will never be taken away. Now, that's good news and bad news. You take it away. You choose peace, you will have peace. Choose the love. It's more loving. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
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 Good job, group. Yeah.
Well, you want me to go? You want me to go?
Oh my God, yes.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh my God.